Blog Talk Radio.
Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all your realty, financial, business, and entertainment networking needs. Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Here is your host for today, Big, and your co-host, Mary the Encourager. I would like to thank you all for your continued support and for spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today? Today, our guest is none other than Randy Ray from Gravel Hill, Tennessee. Randy is the founder and co-owner of Fuel Freedom International, and he's going to share with us how his vision of a cleaner environment has made him successful, as well as other information about the environment and about entrepreneurs. We can't wait. I can't wait for an opportunity to talk with Randy today. So let me just check and see. Are you there, host? Are you there, Big?
Yeah, this is Big. I'm here, and I'm very excited to talk with Randy. He's also been listed among Who's Who in American Business, Businessman of the Year, and he's going to really share some insights as to what you guys out there need to do in order to keep thinking big and live those dreams that you want to live. He truly has a remarkable story, and I just can't wait for everyone out there to hear it. Randy, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, great. So what we're going to do, what we like to do before we get started is, because you know everybody's on their time schedules, how can people contact you before we get into the interview? What's an email address that they can go to?
Randy, R-A-N-D-Y, at myffi.biz. That's myffi.biz.
Okay, so Randy at myffi.biz. And for a website, if you want to find out more about his business, you can go to www.drivingyourdestiny.com. Okay, so why don't you just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself? I mean, the first memories that you had growing up and how that kind of led you to where you are today.
I grew up as the son of a sharecropper in West Tennessee, and my family had been sharecroppers for years. They moved every year because my dad was convinced that the next place we went to would be a better crop and we'd finally make some money. And unfortunately, after moving to 17 different places in the 16 years that I was there, we never found that better crop.
Wow.
So we moved all the time. Every year we moved, and we never lived in a place with electricity. So it was a challenge as a kid.
You never lived in a place with electricity?
No, we never did. One time we lived in a barn, a stable of a barn, because my father became crippled, and the man that owned the land actually kicked us out of the house that we were in because he had another family that was going to move in, and they had more able-bodied kids to work. So they put us in the stable of a barn through the winter, and we almost froze to death.
Wow.
But that's character building. And my father was a part Cherokee Indian, and he had never attended school. He didn't know how to read nor write, and so people took advantage of it. And it was very difficult. He was a hardworking man, but I think he's probably one of the wisest people I ever met, even though he didn't have any formal education, because he had these little sayings that he would use that at the time I was a kid didn't make much sense to me, but years later, it had all the wisdom that was packed in there that I didn't see when I was younger.
Wow.
So it was a lot of a struggle there, and we never had the Christmas presents and the birthday presents and those kind of things, and so I was teased a lot. My mother made my clothes by taking flour sacks and dyeing them and sewing them together by hand because we didn't have a sewing machine. So I was quite a source of a lot of ribbing when I was in school. People teased me about my clothes. And the only challenge I had was I was just born about 30 years too soon. Because if I'd been born later, you know, I'd have been cool. Right. Wearing those kind of clothes and my long, shaggy hair, I would have really been cool. I was just born too early, that's all.
So when would you say, I'm sorry, Mary, go ahead.
I was just going to say, obviously, your way of looking at things has to be a contributing factor to the fact that you have gone so far. But I'm going to let Big go on with his interview.
Okay.
Well, with our interview, the question I have is, coming from those means, because it kind of reminds me of my childhood, and even though I had it bad and had to do things as far as go to school in the summer just to have something to eat, and it didn't come close to what you went through, when did you start thinking big, and what was it that was pretty much the final straw for you when you decided that, you know what, I need to elevate my thinking?
That's a good question. I remember it as clearly as if it were yesterday. The last crop that we produced was on a piece of land that the gentleman that lived near where we did, he told us, look, you can take the land. I'm not going to do anything with it. You can raise a cotton crop. You can keep every bit of the money you make off of it. And I tell you, we worked from the sun up to sundown. And when we finished and we had somebody haul our cotton to the cotton gin, my daddy was proud as he could be. He was standing taller than I'd ever seen him because we produced 5 bales of cotton. That's a lot of cotton.
Wow.
And so we went down to settle up with the guy that owned the cotton gin. He was also the guy that you get your seed and your fertilizer from, and they put it on credit until your crop is collected and you harvest your crop and you settle up. And so when we went through that, the guy that owned the cotton gin told my dad, he said, well, Mr. Ray, said, just about broke even here. He said, I'll tell you what you do. Get your youngins a pair of overalls and we'll call it even. And all the life drained out of my dad's face. And I said right then, this man is cheating my father and I'm not going to be here. I'm going to get out of here as quickly as I can.
That's for sure.
And I'm going to go off, and I started formulating what I was going to do. I was going to travel all over the world. I was going to have food to eat because we rarely ever had food to eat. We never had 3 meals a day. And I'm going to have a big house. I'm going to have a nice car and nice clothes. And so I started from that day. And people would tease me, but I never, ever, ever let go of that. And I stuck with that dream and that vision all the way through, going through the Army for 6.5 years, going to school, getting a degree in computer science, getting out into the business world, approaching NASA because I was going to – they had a proposal coming up, and I was competing with IBM and GE and Honeywell and all these billion-dollar corporations. And I was a little tiny company that best year was $2 million in sales. And I was determined I was going to win that business, and I did. And it turned out to be $230 million of business. And my first commission check was $6 million.
Wow.
Now, talk about thinking big, but I knew when I first started to work on that I had that deal. And I just was not going to consider anything other than that.
And you know what? That little seed, and that seed was planted from a bad incident.
Yeah,
propelled you to not only, you know, educate yourself and go through the service, which everybody gives pretty much a bad name to, but which can really help you when it comes to, you know, financial aid and things of that sort. But I can just imagine that had your father had been standing there with you when you got that it paid for everything over and over.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he didn't make it all the way through, but I had made some pretty good money before I got the NASA contract, and I went back and I bought a home for him, and I would tell him, I said, Dad, you don't have to move anymore. This is your house. You can stay here. And he would sit on that front porch like he was a king in his castle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was
nothing.
I think we have a caller on the line. Caller? Okay.
What's the area code, Ann?
We have a caller at 773.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Caller, do you have a question or a comment?
I do have a question. I didn't realize. I thought I was on hold.
Okay.
And I was just really enjoying listening to the interview. And
this
really isn't a great question, but you mentioned that your father had a lot of sayings, but you didn't tell us any of them.
Share some of that wisdom with us, Randy.
Yeah, he had things like, for example, I told him one time that I was going to sneak up behind this guy and hit him in the back of the head with a baseball bat because he was always picking on me in school. I was probably about 13 or 14. And my dad said to me, well, just remember, you always have to look at yourself when you shave. And I thought, what a stupid thing to say. I don't even have peach fuzz, you know. But what he was trying to say, the wisdom in it was, you live with yourself. And if you go do things that you know that are wrong, you live with that. Every time you look at yourself, you know what kind of person you really are. And I didn't understand all of it when I was a kid. And he told me lots and lots of more things, too, you know. But I'm trying to write a book that's called My Daddy Used to Say. And I've got quite a bit of it done. But he had all those little sayings like that that at the time didn't make a lot of sense to me. But after you grow and you get to be up in years, you look at it and you think, man, that was a lot of wisdom in just a few words.
You know, Randy, because we're just so into, you know, what you're sharing with us, it's almost as if we're kind of going off our format.
Yeah.
And now, the business, and believe me, I'd love to have this show for 3 hours, and I know people out there listen because you are entertaining. And it's just the passion that you're telling us your stories. But now this new business that you decided that you started at a later date called Fuel Freedom International, how was that born, and where did that passion come across, and, you know, dealing with helping the environment and things of that sort, how did that start?
Well, this guy, John, sent me some samples, and I tried it in my Escalade. And as I said earlier, that before the interview, I said that I tested it, and my Escalade was getting about 13 miles per gallon. And when I used the caplet, it jumped up to 16.2 miles per gallon. And I thought, wow, this works. And I gave some to some of my other friends, and I got really good feedback from them. And I thought, man, if there's ever an opportunity. And remember I said in the pre-interview, I said that before I did this and I was selling everything off and we're going to leave the country and go live in different places around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I had that gnawing feeling in the pit of my stomach, that I left the house and I didn't turn off the coffee pot or I didn't unplug the iron or something like that, you know, just kind of
left behind.
Yeah. Just gnawing thing in my stomach. And when he called me and told me about that, I had this thing that popped in my mind. I said, this is something the whole world needs. And not only do they need to save money on their fuel cost, but more importantly, almost every place I've been around the world, they have a lot of pollution problems.
Right.
So this product not only gives you the ability to have more miles per gallon, but more importantly, it actually eliminates almost all of the emission that comes out of your tailpipe because it burns the fuel.
Eliminates the emissions? That's a big issue for many of our states and many countries.
It's a problem all around the world. And you go to places like Indonesia and China and Japan and Korea. I mean, it's like you can't hardly see across the street in some of those areas. And
So
what this does, it burns your fuel completely in your combustion chamber. Really fast burn. You get a 30% boost in your power, and you can check your emissions. And it will drop. In China, I tested this bus that we were on, and they had, like, carbon monoxide was 4,800-something parts per million.
Now, wait a second. Did you say you just tried this out in China?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you just recently come back from China.
That's right.
So your plans to expand is not only here in the United States, but you're also going to these different countries and expanding your business.
That's right. We're shipping product right now to 224 countries and territories around the world.
And I'm sorry, but that just kind of caught my ear there.
Yeah.
Now, you say so when you tried it on the bus in China.
I got the reading. I printed it out, and I showed it to the Chinese host that were driving us around. And then I said, okay, I'm going to put this half-gram caplet in your gas tank, and tomorrow, before you fill up, I want to test it again. So we drove, and we went from city to city, and the next day, before they filled up, I tested it again. The carbon monoxide that was being emitted out of the exhaust had dropped from 4,800 parts per million to 131. The nitric oxide had dropped from over 1,000 parts per million to 100. Unburned hydrocarbons that was up over 1,000, 1,200 or something like that, parts per million, it dropped to 100. So we had a minimum of an 85% reduction in emissions just with 85%. That half-gram caplet. Yes.
Now, for those of our listeners out there who don't know that you are a multimillionaire, it seems to me like now you're on your way to becoming a multi-billionaire.
Well,
just
if I do
showing,
that,
then... just showing what just happened, and we're looking at China when your product is over there. Now, another thing, though, is that this is not just you, because other people can actually take part in this business and help our economy and help our environment. Is that true?
Yes, we have over 200,000 distributors around the world right now that are marketing
wow.
the product.
Wow.
And we're 2 years old.
2 years old. And the way
yeah.
these prices are going up for gas, any little thing is enough. I know here in Illinois, we drive to Indiana, our neighboring state, just to save, you know, a couple of dollars on gas, you know,
yeah.
just in turn. Now we wouldn't really have to go that far because you're using gas, you know, just going out there.
And here the beauty of it is that if you have a car that says unleaded, premium unleaded only,
uh-huh.
you can drop down to regular. Like my wife drives a new BMW 750 Li.
Uh-huh.
It says premium unleaded fuel only.
Right.
We put the caplet in and we use regular gasoline.
Wow.
There's no loss of power. There's no change whatsoever. It works beautifully with it. And you save that in our area. You save 20 to 25 cents a gallon just doing that. Plus, if you get more miles per gallon than whatever additional mileage that you get, then that's just added savings.
Yeah, definitely. Now, what would you say would be what was your biggest challenge once you decided, and once you found out this was a good thing and it actually fit you? Because a lot of
we didn't give them that number. Oh, it didn't. Okay.
We have a caller in the 940 area code. I'll get to your question in just a moment.
Try okay. calling him on your cell phone to give him the number, Don, and I'll keep listening to the show.
We can hear you on the show right now. Okay. All right.
All right. For those out there who are listening, and if you are not near a computer or you know anyone, the number is 718 area code 664-9989. That's 718 area code 664-9989 to listen if you're not near a computer. If you are by a computer, thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn.
Amen.
Yeah, sorry for the interruption. Let's go back.
That's okay. You were talking about growing to be a billionaire. Well, I will tell you, I would love for that to happen. Because one thing that I've learned over the years is that no matter how much money you have, how many toys you have, you
exactly.
take none of that with you.
Yeah.
I feel really, really good because we're doing projects like we just completed in Uganda. We built a school that has 150 children going to school there that they didn't have a school. We did some renovations to an orphanage that has a bunch of kids in there. And Uganda has 2.7 million orphans.
Wow.
That are little kids that their parents have died of AIDS. So there's a huge, huge need around the world. So the more money that I make, the more money I have to help little children around the world, building health clinics and over in Asia, helping with orphanages in Uganda. There's a lot of little people like I was when I was a kid that are throughout the United States that we want to be able to help by funding their schooling. I want to work with them because the thing that I believe that if a child gets an education, My daddy used to say, get an education because they can't take that away from you, because everything he ever had, it seemed like somebody always took it away from him.
Wow.
And so you can't take away an education. That's in your mind. It's in your head. And so I really feel strongly about helping children. And this vehicle is a way to do that. And we've set up a trust that is a 501c trust that we can use to help. And that's, I mentioned earlier before the show, that we're working with the Rain Trust, which is buying up rainforests around the world to help save the rainforest, because that helps the air we breathe. So it's very important. And
right.
So my goal was, when we started this, that by the end of the fourth year, beginning of the fifth year, that we would be a $1 billion company by then.
Now, you say by the end of the fourth year. If it's
yes.
If my understanding is correct, you really are a young company.
It's We're 2 years old, yeah.
Just celebrated your second birthday?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it looks like you're far on the way to doing that. How has the company been received by people? You say you're in a lot of countries. How are they receiving what you have to offer?
Well, all around the world, they are really excited about the product, and we're having a great reception. I was on an interview with Norman Schwarzkopf recently, and he was asking me the same identical question. You know, how do people view you around the world? And some of them have great skepticism, even here
great
in America.
Skepticism.
Yeah. Yeah, they
I haven't heard that one. That sounds like something you don't want to come up against, great
yeah.
skepticism.
That's right. Boy. They say, well, what do you mean? That thing works? I'm not going to put that in my gas tank. So some people are really skeptical about it. And you try to tell them that, you know, we've got all of these people that are using the product, and we're shipping millions of dollars of product every month all over the world. But they're still skeptical. And so that was one of the things that we met with, is skepticism. And the funny thing is that in the United States, people are very skeptical. In Europe, they're somewhat skeptical, but not as bad as the United States. And in Asia, they grab you with open arms.
Wow.
You tell them what you have, and they want it. If you tell them there's a way to make money, they want it. Here, they'll say, well, I'm going to talk to my brother. I'm going to talk to my cousin. I'm going to talk to my neighbor. And, of course, when they talk to them, they'll say, well, you know, I don't know about that now. I'm telling you what, I know old Clyde. He invested some money in something like that, and he lost it all.
Well, you know what, Randy? One of the things that we say here is that pretty much that they all – work. It's just the individual who has to actually make it work, because a lot
That's
of people,
right.
they get involved with things and they just think that they're going to wake up and they're going to be wealthy or millionaires, not realizing that there is a system to every
yeah.
single thing. And once you learn that system and work that system properly, then you're able to reach that level of wealth and be able to take care and help many people. But it takes work, and that's
yeah.
what a lot of people don't realize. They quit. They just leave things alone before that seed has a chance to actually come through and bloom.
Yeah, I've known a lot of people who work and they get right up to the point that they could really be successful and then quit. And one of the things that my folks beat in my head when I was a kid growing up, never quit. Never, never, never quit. Because quitters never win, and winners never quit.
You're right.
You know, that was pounded in my head when I was a kid, so I just marched off with that. The other things that they told me is, son, you can do anything you want to do if you want to do it badly enough.
Well, we have a caller. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, and then I'll get the call.
I used to hear that from my mom and dad, and I'd say, I remember one time I really got in trouble. They said, you can do anything you want to do, son, if you want to do it badly enough. I stood there for a minute, and I looked at them, and I looked where we were living, and I said, what happened to y'all? Wrong question.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Now, we have a caller in the 940 area code.
Okay.
Do you have a comment or a question? The caller from 940 area code? Okay, well, I'm going to take a moment, and just if you don't mind, I just want to let people know how they can follow up on some of the information that we have. The website
hey,
was...
Hey, Don.
Are you, I'm sorry, caller? Caller who just called out to Don?
Yeah, hey, how you doing? I didn't know we was on a live. Don called
yes,
us in on three-way.
Okay, would you do you have a comment for our company president here?
I sure do. I think his product's absolutely wonderful. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I use the product. I'm actually pounding across I-70, headed across the Kansas-Colorado border into Denver right now. And I got an old 400 V-model Caterpillar in this truck, and I was getting 4 to 4.1 miles to the gallon with it before I started using the product. And we've gotten as high as 6.35 steady running without any idle time over the night, and 5.75 and 5.55, including overnight idling time. So it's an absolutely wonderful product.
Who is this?
Chris Manchuk.
Oh, Chris, this is Randy Ray. It's good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks so
much. You're welcome. Thank you for having the product available and the business opportunity as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Randy, this is Don Suggs. I want to apologize. I didn't realize we was on the live side. We thought
yeah.
we were just listening.
Okay.
You're a good man. Merry Christmas to you, Don.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Randy. And I hope you enjoyed Chris Manchuk's testimony there. He just
man, that's wonderful.
Product about a week and a half ago.
That's wonderful. I mean, it surprised me that he was on there, but that's great news.
All right. Well, we'll try to be as quiet as a church mouse. I really apologize.
Oh.
I didn't realize we were on the live
yeah,
side.
Just sit over there and pray. That's wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what the church mouse is doing.
That's right. Church mouse is supposed to sit in the corner and pray.
That's right. Well, let me just give the information again. If someone had a question, a burning question they needed to get to Randy, it would be randy@myffi.biz. If they wanted to take a look at this great opportunity, the products, the business, all of the environmental helps we're talking about, it's www.drivingyourdestiny.com. And if there was someone who wanted to make a direct contact by phone, they could call a toll-free number at 877-246-0511. But let's get back to the interview. Because I'm just excited, because what I keep hearing from you, Randy, is what you went through when you were a child, it didn't scar you and make you negative. It seems to be your inspiration to keep moving forward.
I think what happened to me, as I said earlier, when I was 12 years old, I made up my mind I was going to get out of there because I thought, these people around here, they're really not our friends. They're not helping us. They're taking advantage of my dad. And I'm going to make sure that I'm going to come back here. I can buy that town that I grew up around. I could buy that town when I come back. And and so, you know, it's like I'm going to go show them. And so when I went back for a class reunion one time, I was going to go back there and say, I want to show you what I've done. But in my heart, I don't think that would have been good to do because I don't think God would let me do that because that's like, you know, being braggadocious, and I wasn't going to do that. And people will know the quality of your life by the way you behave. So when they were going around asking everybody what they had done for the last 20 years, it came to me, and I just said, you know, I feel privileged to have lived 20 years. I've met a lot of wonderful people, made fascinating discoveries. The most fascinating discovery that I made was to figure out who I was and what I was all about, and I've thoroughly enjoyed life ever since. And I sat down. It is like, what'd he say? What that boy talk about?
What's that mean?
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun.
Well, you
but
know what?
It has been a very interesting journey, though.
We hear so much that you got to be in the right place and the right time. And I know that I learned about the opportunity through someone who had heard about it months or maybe even a year before, and someone who had had heard about it from somebody else, and they had heard about it from someone else. But it seems that you got to have more than just the right place and the right time. You got to make the right decision. It seems like you are making those kind of decisions that's going to help a lot of other people to meet their goals.
Yeah, if you take that, Don Suggs called in there a moment ago. If you take that gentleman, you know, what he did is he heard about it. He caught the vision, and he's just as passionate about it as I am. And he went out, and he told a lot of people. And his niche is he met a lot of truckers, because those people are desperately, independent truckers are desperately trying to find ways to save on their fuel costs and to be able to get more miles out of the gallon of fuel that they're using. And so that's the niche that he went after. And he has a huge group of people that are working with him. And so he has helped so many people doing that. And so there is something to be said for being at the right place at the right time. But I think a lot of times we make our own timing. We hear about an opportunity, and we'll sit around and we'll think about it, and we'll think about it, and we'll think about it, and then it just sort of goes right on by. But I think when you hear what we're doing, if you can catch the glimpse of the vision that we have for helping people. I had three objectives when I started. One was to help people save money on their fuel costs. Secondly, help clean up the environment. And thirdly, if they're so inclined, give people, empower people to make money. And everybody that we know just about could always use a little extra money. And I don't have anybody jump up and tell them, oh, you can make millions of dollars, even though we have several millionaires that we've created in this company. But what I'm looking for is I know that it's difficult to come up with a lot of money, and so we put our pricing to get into the system at a very reasonable price, because I know what it's like to be sitting on the other side of the fence and have no money. So I want to have this opportunity so that everybody, it doesn't make any difference what walk of life you're in, you can have an opportunity to succeed. And so it's a very simple sales pitch. Do you know anybody that wants to save money on their fuel costs? You can't get much simpler than that. And so they say, you know, yes or no. So if they say yes, you say, okay, I have a way to do that. This little product right here will allow you to save money on your fuel costs, and it'll help clean up the environment. And if you're so inclined that you want to market it to other people, you can do the same thing and you can make money. That's the whole pitch. There's nothing more to it. Simple.
Okay. We've got another caller. Let's see. We have a caller from the 207 area code. Do you have a comment or a question?
I definitely have a few comments and a couple good questions. I'm hearing some good things about this FFI. I recently got involved in it through a wonderful fellow by the name of Don Suggs, to a guy named Chris Manchuk, and I've yet to use the product. We're financially challenged right now. I hate to say it, but that's where we're at 46, and I'm looking to bail back out of this mess, and I want to make some money doing it. I hear this nothing but fantastic reviews about these products. What do I have to look forward to?
Well, if you just go out and do what I just said, you talk to people, they say you go out and practice the three-foot rule. If anybody's within 3 feet of you, you say, hey, you know anybody that needs to save money on fuel?
I can do.
Yeah, and if they say yes, you say, well, I have a solution for you. This little caplet right here will allow you to save money on your fuel costs by giving you more miles per gallon, and it also, the plus that it has is that it reduces the emissions to practically zero.
Wow, that's so very good.
That's what the story is all about.
Well, we definitely got the 3 foot rule mastered. We can do that.
Yep.
Now let me ask you a question. Are there any other products that you have also with your firm?
Yes, we have. We're trying to concentrate on the environment, and we have something called EcoSheen, which is a waterless car wash. And you've got places around the world, like Atlanta, Georgia, for example, the reservoir is dry. But you can't wash your car. Australia, they haven't had rain for like 4 years in most of Australia, and all the car washes have been closed in Australia. But now they're opening back up and using EcoSheen to wash and wax cars. So it's a totally waterless car wash, and it's a wonderful product. And we have other products, like for the truckers, we have the product that you mix in, if they're having to use ultra-low sulfur, we've got Sulfur X, which is something they mix in, and it replaces the lubricity in the fuel that was taken out by the U.S. government's bright idea to cut down on the sulfur content in fuel. And so they go to this ultra-low sulfur, and a trucker can burn up his engine, or
wow.
he can put a retrofit on, which costs quite a bit of money, or he can use Sulfur X in his fuel, which replaces the lubricity that was taken away when they went to the low-sulfur diesel. So that's another product. And we have also MPG Extreme, which is used in your oil. And what it does, it coats the metal in your crankcase, and it reduces the friction with the oil. And so the reduction in friction keeps a cooler engine, and it actually assists in giving you more miles per gallon on your fuel because it's reducing the friction. And so those are the products, and they're all related to the environment and helping people save money. And
that is awesome.
You know, that's my passion. I really want to help people. I want to help them save money. I want to help them clean up the environment. And some parts of the world, as I said earlier, are so polluted that we need to be out there evangelizing and telling people, hey, you need to use this product.
Wow.
I just want to bring out one item. You mentioned those three objectives: to help people to save, to help to clean, and also to help to make money. When you were starting a company like this with this kind of special technology, you really didn't have to open this up for individuals to be a part of it. You could have marketed this in many other ways, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the commercial aspects and the commercial possibilities are phenomenal. But, you know, I looked at this and I thought, if you look at any way in the world that you can get a product to market the quickest, what would it be? It's network marketing, because people talking to people,
mm-hmm.
you know. You tell your neighbor about it. It's just like the story goes that if you saw a great movie and you went out and you told 25 people that, oh, man, that movie is great, you got to go see that. Or you ate at a good restaurant and you told them, I ate over here at Mama B's last night, and that was the best food I've ever had. You don't make any money off of telling all of them, but you'll send 25 or 30 people to that restaurant or to that movie. And if you were looking at it and saying, hey, I've got this product that it can save you a lot of money and it helps clean up the environment, and you can make extra money on it if you're interested, and you sign them up to be on your team, then you help them to grow, and you train them. And, of course, with all the other training now we have, and we're coming out with the online training, so you can go in and 24 hours a day, any day of the week, go in and go through training on your computer. So this is a way that you can get the story out there. And I know that there's lots of people that are in the world, in the United States and all around the world, that could always use some extra money. They say the statistics in the U.S. is that if you had another $200 or $300 a month, that would mean the difference in many cases between whether someone filed bankruptcy or didn't have to file bankruptcy. And if you think about it, and somebody had an extra $300 a month, that could mean the difference between living in a dump or getting a better apartment or getting a better car or whatever. So having grown up very, very poor, of course, my mama never let me say that. We were not poor. We were just broke. She'd always say, we ain't poor, we're broke. Broke is temporary. Poor is a state of mind.
That's funny, because one of the things that we talk about also is that, you know, you're never broke.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they fail to take those steps
yeah.
forward, because they're like, you know, I'm poor, I'm broke. But we say build regardless of known environment, because
yeah.
being broke, you can change that.
Yeah.
You just have to build. Don't look at where you're at now and what you're doing, just like when you decided to just disappear after high school. You know
yeah.
what you knew, you were going to leave your town
yeah.
and hitchhike all across the USA to find yourself and to find it is what you were going to do. You know, that was your way of building, and with
yeah.
that seed being planted.
Well,
how do you find
time? I just
want
to make sure that we know we only have a few minutes left, and we
okay.
do have one other caller who has a comment. but go ahead with your sentence.
Well, okay, being creative, and I know that you had a lot of things going on, and you're working on your book, which I can't wait to read myself. When do you find time to have solitude, to just slow down and reminisce? And have you taken that time, or do you think that's something that you should do?
Well, let me tell you, coming back from China when you have about 21 hours on a plane, you have a lot of time to think.
Wow.
And you can unwind and sit there, and I'm a great one for daydreaming. You know, I'm always thinking of things that could be. So I get my best thinking done when I'm there, or the place I really, really love to go is, you remember back in the movie Song of the South, they had this, the rabbit was always looking for his laughing place. And the bear was after him, and he told the bear, he was laying by this tree, rolling in the ground, laughing, and the bear said, "What you laughing about?" He said, "This is my laughing place." He said, "Where's your laughing place?" He said, "Right in there." And he stuck his head in that tree, and it was a beehive in there. He said, "Ain't nothing in here but bees." So, my laughing place is up on top of this Pillsbury Mountain in North Carolina.
Wow.
And, I sit up there on that porch in a rocking chair, and I look out across those mountaintops, and it's just absolutely beautiful and very peaceful. And I think you feel closer to God up there than you do anywhere else. So I enjoy that, too.
Well, we're really getting close to the and I really hope you'll come back again, because there's so much we could cover. But I know the caller before had mentioned about just getting started, and I know that for me, we have a team of Mike and Florence and James and Phil and Kenny, and as we all come together, and Landis and Rita, as we come together, we start to bounce ideas off of each other, and it really helps us to be able to go forward. We're trying to bring more people to the knowledge of what you have started.
Yeah,
so I
right.
just think we're in another couple of years, we'll just be so much further along than what anybody even imagines. And we have a caller now from the 478 area code. We really only have a moment, so if you have a very quick comment or question, we can get you in now.
Mary?
478? Yes.
Hi. This is Rita.
Yes.
And first of all, I just wanted to thank Randy Ray and Wendy Lewis for what y'all
have
done.
You close that one, too?
Yep.
Awesome.
I have never met anybody that works as hard as they
sure.
do, that is as passionate as they are about helping people, but also helping to save our planet. It's the best opportunity that's ever been created, the only one I know of that is actually costing people money not to use it. So you're saving money, helping clean the air that we all have to breathe. And that health is a passion of mine because I was born with asthma. I think everybody ought to be concerned with the health and also helping reduce the dependency on foreign oil and cleaning up our planet. So the whole thing makes sense. It's been such a blessing to me and everybody I know, and I just want to say a big thank you.
Thank
Rita,
you.
I would like to also say thank you to you for making this happen, because there was a lot of people involved on getting Randy on this show tonight, and you were one of the big thinkers that made that happen.
Well, you're welcome.
Well,
I just thank him because I know he had to be tired from that trip.
Yeah.
We need to give him an opportunity to thank whoever he needs to thank.
Well,
we want anyone who's listening to know, if you want to follow up on this and let us know that you want to hear more from our guests, you can look at our site. You can look at www.drivingyourdestiny.com. You can give us a call at 877-246-0511, or you can send an email to randy@myffi.biz. This call will be archived, so you can pass it on to other friends. We want it to go around the world, because Randy's thinking big is helping all of us. Randy, we're down to our last minute, and I'm sure you have some people that you want to thank, and I want to give you an opportunity to do that.
Well, Mary, I want to thank you and Big for having me on the program, and I want to thank Rita, because Rita is one of the first people that joined back in the very, very beginning, and she's a founding member. So she's been a source of support and strength, and she's one of my fans, and I love her to death for that. So I appreciate all of her help. I want to thank God for giving me a life and the ability to do the things I do, and especially my wife, Wendy, who has been the best thing that ever happened to me. You talk about wind beneath my wings, and
that's
she certainly has been that. You know, she's a
We're
beautiful
down to
lady.
20 seconds. Thanks so
okay.
much. Go ahead.
Okay,
We're at
20 that's
seconds,
it.
And we may end. It may just cut off on us, but I thank you so much for being here. And I want you to know that we want you to come back again, and we'll give you more time so we can share this word. Because
you're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Think big, everybody.
Thanks so much for being with us.